Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. Lenten, midweek, lunch and service. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church, 1603 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled Lenten midweek lunch and services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays through April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549. Permian Basin Fashion Week. Meet the designer. Odessa Arts has scheduled Permian Basin Fashion Week. Meet the designer from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. today at the Barrel and Derrick Restaurant at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Meet Project Runway designer Daniel Esquivel and enjoy an evening of fun and cocktails at PBFW kickoff event. The Black and White Ball will feature a black and white collection by Esquivel. Pet Adoption Event. Humane Society of Odessa will host a pet adoption event from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. today at Raising Cane's, 4001 Highway 191. The Cross Before the Crown. First Baptist Church of Midland, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland, will present the Cross Before the Crown event from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. United Way accepting funding proposals. The United Way of Odessa is requesting proposals for 2022-2023 community impact funding. Funding is open to nonprofits 501c3s serving in the United Way of Odessa service area who provide services in the areas of health, education, and self-sufficiency. To be considered for funding, funding proposals must be received by Thursday. For an application or more information, call 432-332-0941. Oil and Gas Hiring Event. An oil and gas hiring event has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. More than 40 companies will be hiring on the spot. Job seekers need to bring ID. Register at the door. The event is free and open to the public. For a full list of positions or information, visit permianbasin-hiringevents.com. Open Scholarship Application. Permian Basin Area Foundation have announced the 2022-23 scholarship cycle. Students and counselors may view eligibility and selection criteria for more than 85 scholarships through the application platform Academic Works through at the PBAF website. The application deadline is Thursday. Permian Basin Area Foundation awarded more than $1 million in scholarships to area students during the last academic year. These awards are made possible by numerous donors to the foundation's scholarship funds in support of local students pursuing higher education. Western Wonder Art Show and Sale. RAW 1899, 38 North Chadburn Street, San Angelo, will present Western Wonder Art Show and Sale, featuring the work of Jean N. Cornell, Thursday through April 30th. The opening reception will take place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. March 31st. There is no cost to attend. Hours, are from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. National Quilt Month Film Series. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled National Quilt Month Film Series featuring the Ken Burns Quilt Collection at 6 p.m. Thursday. There will be a short video of famous quilt artists, quilt events, and quilt collections. Admission is free. Faculty Piano Recital. Odessa College Music Department has scheduled a faculty piano recital at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Jack Rogers Fine Arts Center, 201 West University Boulevard. Gail Bissell, pianist, and Eric Baker, conductor, with the Odessa College Chamber Orchestra are honored to present the world premiere of a new piano concerto by nationally recognized composer Timothy Brown, who will be in attendance at the concert. Bissell will also premiere a solo work for piano. Three OC music students will perform works by Brown at the recital. Admission is free. Abbott urges Texans to monitor weather amid extreme fire danger. By OA News. Austin. Governor Greg Abbott announced via press release Tuesday to encourage Texans to remain vigilant and informed on weather conditions as fire danger and severe weather threatens the state. Significant portions of the western half of Texas are facing extreme fire weather conditions today due to high wind gusts, dry fuels, and low humidity. Primary areas of concern for fires are the Panhandle, South Plains, and West Texas, with the risk shifting to much of the southern half of the state today. Ector County commissioners voted unanimously to approve a 90-day burn ban during its March 22nd meeting. Severe storms with the potential for large hail, damaging winds, tornadoes, and flash flooding were forecasted for north, central, and east Texas Tuesday night and into today. With both extreme fire danger and severe storms expected in Texas today and tomorrow, it is important that Texans monitor local weather reports, heed guidance from local officials, and take proper measures to protect life and property, Abbott stated in the press release. The state of Texas has been working closely with local officials to respond to dangerous conditions created by wildfires and is prepared to respond to any emergencies that may arise with severe weather. At the direction of the governor, the Texas Division of Emergency Management has continued to activate resources and the State Operations Center remains at level 2, escalated response. There are currently 19 state agencies involved in the state's wildfire response. Earlier this morning, the agencies held a call to coordinate response efforts. The Texas A&M Forest Service, the leading firefighting agency in the state, reports more than 900 local and state firefighters mobilized in current firefighting efforts, including more than 300 TAMFS firefighters engaged in the response and approximately 400 out-of-state firefighters. More than 200 firefighters from 70 different local fire departments are mobilized across the state through the Texas Intrastate Fire Mutual Aid System, as well as 65 fire engines and 35 aviation assets. Abbott recently issued a disaster declaration for 16 counties affected by wildfires, as well as a disaster declaration remains for 16 counties impacted by tornadoes during last week's severe storms. Both disaster declarations remain in place. The Public Utility Commission of Texas reminds citizens to never approach or touch downed power lines. Report downed lines or outages to local authorities and local utility officials. For tips and information on how to prepare for severe weather and threat of wildfires, visit ready.gov/severe-weather. Woman charged with assaulting roommate with firearm by OA News. An Odessa woman was arrested early Saturday morning after her former roommate accused her of pointing a gun at her and threatening to kill her. According to the Odessa Police Department report, officers were sent to an apartment complex in the 1400 block of John Ben Shepherd Parkway around 5 a.m. after getting a shots fired call. When they arrived, officers saw two women and a man arguing. One of the women told police officers Shonda Ellis had pointed a gun at her and threatened to kill her, and Ellis admitted she had a gun tucked into the back of her waistband, according to the report. An officer removed the gun, cleared a chamber round, and took out the magazine, the report stated. Ellis was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault of a deadly weapon, family violence. Medical Center Health System to host regional board workshop by OA News. Medical Center Health System is hosting a regional board workshop from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at the J. Nevelin and Larry Melton Conference Center on the Texas Tech Odessa campus. It will feature education and legal training from the Jackson and Carter law firm out of Austin. More than 80 board members from healthcare facilities across the West Texas region will be in attendance, where they will receive updated healthcare education and legal updates from Jackson and Carter, who represent hospitals and hospital-related organizations, while also working closely with the Texas Hospital Association, Texas Hospital Insurance Exchange, and the Texas Alliance for Patient Access. Permian Strategic Partnership announces new member by OA News. The Permian Strategic Partnership announced on Tuesday the addition of Colgate Energy, which brings the member company count to 17. We are thrilled with the addition of James Walter, Will Hickey, and the team of Colgate Energy. Tracy Bentley, President and CEO of the PSP, stated in the press release. Colgate brings tremendous talent and passion for the Permian Basin to the table. They are certainly joining the PSP at a time when we have seen great momentum and transformational incentives in our 3 short years. We continue to look forward to making lasting impacts across the Permian Basin together. Colgate is excited to join this partnership of Permian operators doing great things for the Permian Basin, James Walter, President and CEO of Colgate Energy, stated in the press release. With our company being based in Midland and all the employees living and working in West Texas, the issues PSP is actively tackling are especially important to us. The PSP has funded numerous projects that make our community a better place to live and work, and we could not pass up the chance to be involved. We look forward to what we will accomplish together. Based in Midland, Colgate Energy is a private, independent exploration and production company focused on acquiring and developing conventional and unconventional oil properties in the Permian Basin, the press release detailed. Colgate was founded in 2015 by Will Hickey and James Walter with initial equity commitments from Pearl Energy Investments and NGP. The company has since assembled a multi-discipline team of 65 professionals with an extensive history and understanding of operating in the Permian Basin. PSP is a coalition of 17 leading Permian Basin energy companies who joined together to work in partnership with leaders across the region's communities to address current and future challenges to the responsible developments of the vast oil and natural gas resources of the Permian Basin in the states of New Mexico and Texas. The PSP member companies are Apache, BPX Energy, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Colgate Energy, Coterra Energy, Devon, Diamondback, Endeavor, EOG Resources, Halliburton, Occidental, Ovintiv, Pioneer, Plains, All American, Schlumberger, and XTO Energy. Obituary: Harold May, Comanche. Harold May, age 85, passed away on Sunday, March 27th in Comanche, Texas. Harold was born on August 22nd, 1936, to Preston and Fay Bernard May. On May 27th, 1955, he was united in marriage to Charlene Matthews. She preceded him in death on March 28th, 2014. He is survived by his three daughters, Sherry Sims and husband Terry of McCamey, Carolyn Pfeiffer and husband David of Comanche, and Cindy Stout and husband Johnny of Pinson, Tennessee, 8 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his parents, daughter Deborah Del Masso and husband Randy, and granddaughter Lauren Lawrence. Family will receive friends at Comanche Funeral Home on Tuesday, March 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 30th at Gardens of Memory Cemetery. Condolences may be offered online at www.comanchefh.com.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read local articles from the Odessa American for Wednesday, March 30th. Odessans for Education News Conference set. Odessans for Education will hold a news conference at 10 a.m. Thursday at the Complex Community Federal Credit Union Operations and Training Building Community Room, 4519 East 51st Street. The news conference will announce Odessans for Education's support for the ECISD Propositions A and B passage in the May 7th bond election. Proposition A for $215,255,000 would include maintenance and life cycle repairs and replacement for school district buildings for $130,255,000. Construction of a new career and technical education center for $70 million. And classroom technology upgrades for $15 million. Proposition B for $183 million would be for a new comprehensive high school at Yukon and Faudry Roads. Designed for, it would cover an estimated 400,000 square feet and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment. The ECISD website says district leaders anticipate this bond will create a tax rate increase of 15 cents, and for a home with a taxable value of $100,000 would equate to a tax increase of approximately $12 per month. There would be no tax increase on residents' homesteads for taxpayers 65 and older, as state law dictates that the tax rate and the amount paid on a residence are frozen when that person turns 65 years old, applies for the exemption, and is approved by the Ector County Appraisal District. ECISD gives local taxpayers a 20% homestead exemption, which is the maximum allowed by law. Early voting for the May 7th election will run from April 25th through May 3rd and be held only at the Ector County Courthouse Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. On February 15th, Ector County ISD Board of Trustees unanimously voted to call for a $398,255,000 bond election to be held on May 7th. The school bond vote to approve two separate propositions came in response to recommendations from a community bond committee that worked for 6 months evaluating the conditions of all ECISD facilities. In January, members of that community bond committee presented their findings to trustees, identifying four main areas of focus. The school board used those recommendations in shaping its decision to move forward with the bond election. Speakers at Thursday's news conference are expected to include Lorraine Perryman, Chris Cole, and ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray. Odessans for Education supports the passage of Propositions A and B and voting for our kids and our community. During the press conference, the group will provide details on Propositions A and B, how the needs in the community-driven bond proposal were determined, and why they believe now is the time to vote for our foundation, facilities, and future, the news release said. Abbott and TEA announce funding adjustment. Governor Greg Abbott and the Texas Education Agency announced via press release on Tuesday that school districts in Texas may be eligible for an adjustment in operational minutes requirements for certain attendance reporting periods during the 2021-2022 academic school year. This means funding will be made available to school systems in Texas that have experienced attendance rate declines because of the lingering impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, given an emphasis on in-person instruction, the press release stated. This adjustment would apply for the first four reporting periods of the current school year. Providing this adjustment to the 2021-22 school year will ensure school systems have the funding they need to retain the best and brightest teachers and provide quality education to all public school students across Texas, Abbott stated in the press release. We have made tremendous strides to return more of our students back to the classroom and will continue in our efforts to do so. Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath added in the press release, in recent years, the Texas legislature has taken steps both to significantly increase funding for Texas public schools and to focus the structure of the finance system firmly on the needs of our students. This adjustment further accounts for COVID-19 related learning disruptions and is yet another way we're prioritizing the needs of our state's teachers and students. In normal times, schools are funded based on the number of students enrolled and the daily attendance on campus, the press release detailed. TEA has continued to prioritize flexibility to ensure essential funding support for school systems by providing full funding based on daily attendance, whether the attendance was in person or remote. For the current academic year, this operational minute adjustment will result in the exclusion of operational minutes during those instructional days that schools have low percentage attendance rates to ensure school districts have the financial resources to provide a high-quality education to all students in Texas. It does not hold a district harmless for losses of ADA due to enrollment declines.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Pain from cyst should prompt a checkup. Dear Dr. Roach, I had a ganglion cyst removed in 2018. I had no pain before it was removed nor since, until now. I can see a very small lump forming and it seems to be hitting a nerve, there is pain. Is it important to get it checked out now? Answer. A ganglion cyst is a common benign tumor more frequently found in the hand and wrist. They typically occur over a joint or along a tendon. They contain a thick gelatinous fluid. Many patients come to see me about them because they are worried it is something serious or because they don't care for the appearance. Some people do have pain, numbness, and even weakness due to compression of an adjacent nerve. Ganglion cysts frequently go away by themselves, and I usually advise patients, but pain is definitely an indication to get this checked out if it doesn't quickly go away. Weakness should be evaluated immediately. A hand surgeon is the appropriate consultant. The hand surgeon may elect to aspirate the fluid from the cyst, which usually is effective. Recurrence of the cyst may require definitive surgery. I have never seen a ganglion cyst reoccur after surgery, but a 10% reoccurrence rate is reported in the literature. It seems you are one of the unlucky ones. My patients have told me they have been recommended to bash it with a Bible. Please, don't do that.
This is the Dear Abby column. Stepmom learns of teen's shocking online activity. Dear Abby, I have been married to my husband for a little over 3 years. I have 2 teen girls and he has 1. They get along for the most part. But lately, my 18-year-old Lindsay and his 17-year-old Taylor have been clashing. They were brought up very differently, and sometimes it causes waves, because I expect more from my girls than he does his daughter. To be fair, my stepdaughter's mother has had some serious issues and has never been a role model. During one of these clashes, Lindsay told me Taylor has been doing some very explicit and dangerous things online. This was confirmed by her boyfriend. Lindsay, of course, told me, hoping to get Taylor in trouble or to lessen her in my eyes since they were arguing. I get the inner workings of the teenage girl's mind. It's not always a kind place. What do I do with this information? Should I tell her father? What purpose would it serve? If I don't tell him, am I keeping a secret that I shouldn't? Signed, Knows Too Much in New York. Dear Knows, if you and your husband have investigated this and found it to be true, talk to Taylor. Point out that images she has posted online do not age out and disappear. They can linger forever, which could have serious consequences when she is older and looking at college, getting into the workforce, etc. While she can't change what she has already done, she can wise up and quit what she has been doing now. Dear Abby, a close friend has just announced, out of the blue, that she's running for a prominent public office. It's going to be a contentious race, and it's likely to get ugly for whomever runs. She sent out messages this week, assuming her friends will be supporting her through our social networks, door-knocking, hosting fundraising events, and whatever else she needs. She said she's looking forward to working with us. Abby, the way her announcements are worded, I can tell she's going to be blindsided when I decline her request. She assumes that because we are friends, I would want her in office. However, in my opinion, she's not the best person for the job, and I have other civic engagements I'm already committed to this year. I also feel that maybe she should have actually asked. Is there any way I can maintain the friendship without supporting the candidate? I don't see what the graceful way out is, and her conversation is already oriented toward us versus them. Signed, Hiding Until the Primaries. Dear Hiding, explain to your friend that you are already committed to other civic engagements this year, and because of time constraints, you can't back out of them. Then wish her luck and send her a small financial contribution for her campaign in the name of friendship. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.